God looked at me and said, okay, coping tools kept you safe. They were familiar. They worked a long time ago when you were a kid in a hard place. You're a faith-filled warrior woman of God. And so I'm going to ask you to give this to me. And I'm going to ask you to sit in the tension of these emotions, knowing I'm going to meet you there. And it's okay.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real-life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey, More Than Small Talk friends. Welcome back to our mini series on joy that was inspired by Susie's book, Joy Keeper. We hope you'll listen to last week's episode. And this week we're talking about toxic joy.
Yeah, I feel vulnerable.
I know. This, sweaty. You know,
I think that this is a topic that so many of us have questions about and so many of us have wrestled with. And this is called toxic joy. And I want to start with a confession question, and then we'll kind of define what toxic joy is. Has there been a time when you've had to make yourself put on a happy face?
So many times. I mean, like, how do you narrow it down to one?
Yes.
I would say, I'll go a little bit deeper on this, but like, I would say there's so many of us who have walked through the church doors in some form of leadership that felt like they had to fake it that
day. Thank you for bringing that up.
So I really want to like go in. There's so many times that we can feel like a happiness liar because we can look the part and be dying on the inside. So I would say there's a lot, whether you're in leadership or not, where you've walked through the doors of the church and you're like, I'm so unhappy. I don't even know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that.
So I think I'll leave it with that because I think yeah. that's real.
It is real.
I think as an introvert, I feel pressure sometimes to look outwardly joyful. You know, I've been told through the years, like, smile, you know, mm-hmm. like I'm standing around at the holidays perfectly content. Like,
you're happy. Yeah.
You know, I'm yeah. fine. Mm-hmm. And someone's like, smile. And I'm like, what? And I discovered in my research into introverts and extroverts that from a biological perspective, because of the neurotransmitters we rely on, extroverts experience happiness more as enthusiasm and excitement, which yes. we would probably put joy more in that category from right. a cultural perspective.
From a cultural.
Cultural, not biblical, but cultural right. perspective. Whereas introverts experience happiness more as peace and calm and contentment.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I can do peace, you know, when the Bible's like, peace, I'm like, okay, I can do that. Yeah. But when the Bible's like, joy, sometimes if I get that same sense that I'm like standing around trying to love Jesus and someone's like, smile, you know. Yeah. So I would say there have been, especially in certain social situations, I've just felt pressure to like be mm-hmm. outwardly more culturally joyful than yeah. comes naturally to me as an introvert.
Yeah. There's so many times, Holly, that I'm with a group of people and they're exuberant and joyful and doing all these things. And I'm totally listening. Like I'm tuned in. And I think later they probably thought that I was checked out. I wasn't. I was 100% checked in, but I was listening, you yeah. know? So I almost feel like I'm on a couch in a counselor's office and I don't even know if they still do that. Married to a counselor, I should ask him. So I have been known almost my whole life as a person who is positive. Like Susie's super positive. She, the glass is always half full or beyond. And the Lord and I, man, as I was going through this book, as I was studying deep joy, he lifted the veil from something that was very hard. And that is that while positivity is beautiful and a good thing, it was a coping tool for me.
Yeah.
It was actually toxic joy. And it was one way of avoiding the hard stuff, the hard feelings, the hard stuff. So the definition of toxic joy is this: the belief that people should put a positive spin on all experiences, even those that are profoundly tragic. It's toxic joy. And so what I was doing is I was the silver lining girl. Yeah, I have cancer, but you know, yeah, this is happening, but look at this. And like I said, there's good and positive. It's good for your mental health. There's a lot of things. But toxic joy or toxic positivity is different than that. And I just felt the Lord saying, you don't allow yourself or others. That's the hard part. That was the part where God and I really wrestled. You don't allow yourself or others to feel sad. And Susie, that's not positivity at all. That's an area I need to work on. You and I together.
Yeah. So where did you go from there?
So that's, again, this whole study of joy and joy stealers and areas where I didn't allow myself to feel. You know, I had to learn about the character of God in there and first understand that his very name means refuge. Yeah. And I had to learn to take a pause because my instant reaction was to go to the positive. And I had to begin to allow myself to feel, to lean in, to say the words, this is really hard, not just to myself, but to the people closest to me. And it felt very vulnerable. I'm getting really good at it, but it's taken a while. And I had to remove that. So I just want to talk about some problems with toxic joy, and then we can go deeper on this. Holly, you're a licensed counselor and have the best brain of anybody I know. So, and Jennifer, you're an empath. And so I'm going to love to go deeper on this with you. But here's some of the problems with toxic joy. It can silence negative emotions and make people feel under pressure to pretend to be happy, even when they're struggling. That's one issue. Another, it can be presented as the only solution to a problem, demanding that people avoid the negative and not allow themselves to express how they feel. And then the last one, toxic joy or toxic positivity doesn't give ourselves permission to address what's going on inside of us, because ignoring them doesn't make them go away. So those are some of the issues that it can cause.
So I would love for us to share just a moment where someone kind of pushed that on us, like a story. I'll even jump in and go first. I've been very, very open. I wrestle with seasonal depression on a really big scale. And there was a lot of years that it was really, really bad. And so for me to actually be honest about it and bring it up to someone, basically asking for help or for someone to kind of sit in that season with me, and to hear scriptures like, you know, count it all joy. And joy comes in the morning. Like, you can be sad today, but tomorrow's going to be better. Like, all of those things did not feel helpful. It made me feel more disconnected from them. So have you ever had a moment where you felt like someone was like just trying to shove joy down your face and you were like not having it?
Yeah, I've actually been that person, not using scripture, I don't think, but immediately looking for the silver lining. Not giving any of us a chance to take a breath and say, this is hard. And so again, did it mostly for myself. I don't think that I did that for other people that much. Hopefully I'm more sensitive than that, but I absolutely did it with myself. I'd look in the mirror and say, you know, Susie, I know you're going through this, but 1, 2, 3, you know, I'd list reasons of why, you know, it was going to be okay. And again, that can be perceived as really like, whoa, she's a faith warrior. No, I wasn't giving myself permission to feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Holly?
Yeah. We went through almost a decade of infertility. And there were tons of times that people would, you know, instead of saying like, oh, of course you're experiencing grief over that, you know, and you had a miscarriage, and it was just, well, I'm trusting God that you're going to have a baby and your life is just so blessed in so many other ways. And yeah, one time someone said, well, I think if you just, you know, quit your job and drop out of grad school,
oh gosh,
then you'll have a baby. Because Dr. Phil said stress what actually causes this. So, yeah.
Well, of course, since Dr. Phil said it.
And I had to learn to like mentally translate to be like, what you are actually saying is, I hate that you're in pain and I wish that I could fix it and I can't. And so I'm going to say something awkward, you know, and that helped to be like, okay, this person is trying to love me well in this moment, but they are just missing it. That helps some, but it was hard, you know, to feel like, okay. And thankfully I did have safe spaces to experience grief, but that was a repeat occurrence.
You know what? I don't even know if you remember this, Holly, mm-hmm. but you and I were just getting to know each other. You're such a connector. You invited me to a church thing. Do you remember that? It was a small group. We all went in. There was snacks. I'm trying to remember what this was. And anyway, there was a group of about 10 women. And one said something very similar to you about that. And I remember sitting there and I didn't know you well. And I thought, ouch, 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 ouch. Brené Brown calls this the at least. And she says, it's easy to react with sympathy. You know, you're from a distance, but empathy is much harder. But she said the at least responses is telling a parent who's lost a child to miscarriage, at least you can have more children later. And recognizing for yourself, if I come out with the words, at least, zip it, because that's not going to land well in the heart of someone. At least, at least you can do this. At least this might happen. At least you have, you know, this. So I think during COVID, we did a lot of that was, well, at least you can learn a new skill. You can become a good cook
and bake some bread.
And I love that Jesus doesn't do this. Like I'm thinking of when he stood outside the tomb of Lazarus and Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like he didn't say, at least he's going to be alive again in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Watch this.
You know, like he made space for grief. Mm-hmm. And Jesus is described as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Yes.
And even Paul said, who said, you know, rejoice always, also said, I have unending sorrow in my heart in a different verse. And I think that grief and joy are meant to coexist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not we experience one or the other.
Mm-hmm. All the way through scripture. All the way through scripture, you see sorrow and sadness and biblical joy, leaning into the character of God, intentionally leaning in to find the goodness and character of God right where you are. You find those together. Now, do you find them shouting and dancing in that moment, you know, or putting on a happy face? No, you don't. But you do find, here's my sorrow. This is the reality of what is. And then on the other hand, this is also the reality of what I know, of where I can turn, of whose I am. And so, you know, so I think it's important to look at the practical when it comes to toxic joy. And so here's some things that we can do is talking about our feelings actually makes them feel less overwhelming. I call it Mount Mama. If we push down our feelings over and over again, they will come up. Mm-hmm. And it's like a volcano.
Yeah.
You know, we're pushing them down. We're pushing them down. And at some point, Mount Mama's going to erupt.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is it usually erupts in situations that don't even warrant it or over people who really don't deserve it, that we've just pushed them down to the point where they're going to come up at some point sometime. So talking about our feelings helps us. Do you guys have, like, if you think of a safe place to be able to say to somebody, I'll tell a story first, then I want to hear yours. I woke up in the night one night and I was just bawling. Mm-hmm. And I woke Richard up and he was like, why are you crying? And something had happened that day that made me really sad. And because I'm a positive girl, I had put a spin on it that said, this is okay. They didn't mean it. It's all right. I'm fine. I'm strong. I was really sad about it. And I woke Richard up and I was just bawling. And I said, babe, I'm so sad. I am so sad that this happened. And he was like sitting up like, well, what can I do? And I said, if you can just listen. But even more than that, if this happens again, if you could kind of step into it with me so I'm not alone. He was like, I always think you're so strong. I'm like over there thinking, oh, no, she's got it. I didn't have it. And so that was a moment for me where I had a safe place that I could talk about. Like, I'm really sad. Not only that, I didn't know what to do and I needed you. You guys have people in your sphere. How can we find those people? Yeah. What does that look like?
Yeah, I feel like my husband's safe too. And then my inner circle, all of you in this room, I feel like I can say, I'm not okay. And y'all are always like, we got you, you know? Yeah. And then counseling, you know, I went back to counseling this week because I was like, it's been a while. I feel stuck. Like, I need a safe place to process. Mm-hmm. And it was really helpful. And so, yeah, I think it's saying I need at least one person in my life, even if it's a counselor, that I can go and just say what I need to say and know that I'm going to be safe and not judged. Mm-hmm. And then committing to be that person for other people.
100%.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah, so I think that's important. But I think the first person that we have to give permission is us.
Mm-hmm.
And even like Jesus meets me a lot through my imagination. So an exercise I now do sometimes is I mentally go into what I call my cave of difficulty. It's like you take your difficult emotions to a certain mental space, which can make it feel safer. And I picture this beach I went to years ago in Hawaii was made of black rock. So it's a dark but beautiful place. And I'll just stand there and imagine Jesus next to me. And I'll just say, like, I feel grief.
Yeah.
I feel grief.
You named it.
I feel grief. Mm-hmm. And that helps. And then sometimes I picture like picking up one of the black rocks and throwing it into the sea, you know, like releasing it. And but I think that we definitely need space with other people, but I think we also need a space within ourselves.
That's good.
Where
That's
we really good. Can go. And for me, it helps to make it look like an actual place in my mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cause then I walk out of the cave at the end of it. So it doesn't feel as overwhelming.
Yeah.
But I know like, okay, I can go into this cave of difficulty. Jesus will meet me there. I can process through this. I think we're often afraid, especially negative emotions are just going to overtake us, you know, but if we say, I'm not my thoughts, I'm not my feelings, I can let them flow through me. And if I give them permission to do that instead of blocking them, then usually they'll pass on their own. Mm-hmm. Whereas if I try to stuff them down or whatever, then they usually stick around. Yeah. So that little exercise has been really helpful.
It's really good.
And I think everyone's wired different. Like my husband probably wouldn't get a lot out of that. But I think if you have an active imagination, using that to process emotion can be helpful.
Yeah. I have to take a pause now. I mean, that is the very practical thing. First of all, I need to take a pause with myself and say, what do I feel? And I will say, I feel sad, or I feel angry, or I feel confused. Like, this is what I'm feeling. We're so ingrained with teachings that say instantly go to some version of joy that they think it is. The choose water thing we talked about last time in our last conversation. But I need it to create room. I call it sacred space where this is really how I feel. I feel sad. I do. And then with other people in my life, and this has been my biggest change, and probably the people in my life who are closest to me feel some gratefulness over this, because Positivity Susie now stops and pauses and says, how are you feeling about that? And make room for it. And if they come back and say, like, I feel really cruddy about this, I don't have to put a spin on it. I don't have to find a silver lining. I don't have to pull. I just have to be present and just say, I'm really sorry. You know, I'm really sorry. That's frustrating. And it's enough. It's more than enough. So I think pithy Susie and positivity Susie, God looked at me and said, okay, coping tools kept you safe. They were familiar. They worked a long time ago when you were a kid in a hard place. You're a faith-filled warrior woman of God. And so I'm going to ask you to give this to me. And I'm going to ask you to sit in the tension of these emotions, knowing I'm going to meet you there. And it's okay. So I had some growing to do.
Yeah. And I think even I've had to grow in that area as a parent, because you don't want your kids to suffer. You don't want them to be in pain. I had a moment with my youngest where she was really feeling some things very, very deeply. And I wanted to bring some insight and alleviate that pain. And she looked at me and she said, I am unhinged and I need you to let me be. And I was like, wow. I was so impressed with that, because she just told me what she needed. She just needed to be unhinged and have a safe place and not, you know, have that watered down or minimized or shortened, just to feel it. And I think the permission thing is key for all of us, like that we give each other permission to feel what we're feeling without having to get to the other side or drag them out of the other side.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, and as we look at this, maybe somebody identifies with this and says, I always go to the silver lining. I thought it was a great thing. And it probably is. It's probably a strength inside of you that God has placed inside of you. The difference is when it becomes something that actually doesn't allow you or others to feel pain, even in tragic situations, no matter what, then maybe it's an area where God is bringing it to your awareness, because he loves you like crazy and he just wants to do a little bit of healing work in you.
Yeah. And I think what we see in the life of Jesus is he fully experienced the whole range of human emotion.
He did. Mm-hmm.
We see him full of joy in the Holy Spirit. We see him, you know, distressed to the point of sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yes.
Like, so it makes me want to ask myself, what are the emotions that I tend to resist?
Yeah.
Because ironically, Suze, I'm totally comfortable with negative emotions. I'm more likely to resist positive ones because they feel more vulnerable to me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Like, yeah. And so that makes me think, like, am I, you know, closing myself off to some more positive emotions because of fear in some ways? And so maybe for ourselves and for the people in our lives, we say the goal isn't be, you know, joyful all the time in the sense of emotionally, but am I giving myself the holy freedom to fully experience all of the emotions that God has placed within me that help me process this life?
Mm-hmm.
And am I giving the people in my life the freedom to do the same?
Yeah, I think that's really powerful. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's something that God is working on in me. And there's deep roots there, Holly, for me. There's probably deep roots for you and everybody listening as well. There's some deep roots for me that God is working on and saying, it took care of you once. You don't need that anymore. Just feel. Just feel. Give yourself permission to feel.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on KLRC.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.